So far as the sugar, we've discussed a little bit about sugar and its impact on health. We have recommendations by our government to reduce our sugar intake. In 2015, it was reduced to a recommendation to 5% of our total energy. So that's quite a low amount of sugar. And this was obviously to get round the potential detrimental effects of sugar itself or indirect effects on perhaps passive overconsumption, obesity, and also dental caries and other health conditions. So if you compare what we have as a population to that recommendation, we are consuming more than we actually are recommended. So we're recommended 5%. I think on an average population, about 12 to 13% energy of sugars, children about 15%. So we are over-consuming sugars on a population level related to our recommendations. Fat, we have a recommendation in the UK of fat intake of 35% of total energy. If you look at our population average, actually we're about there. So as a population, our total fat intake is about what we recommend. Obviously there's groups of people that have an awful lot more than this and some that have less, but on a population level we're reaching our fat recommendations. But if you look at the types of fat, the quality of fat, then they don't necessarily reach what we recommend. So saturated fat, we're now recommending 10% of energy. We're taking in, on average, about 12.5% as an adult, so again, too high. If you look at other fats, such as the longer chain N3 or omega-3 fatty acids found a lot in fish and oily fish and fish oil, we recommend just under 0.5 gram a day. We're actually taking about 0.1 to 2 grams a day. So we're actually well under what we should consume. And if you put that in context, it's only about 25% of the population that have oily fish anyway. So you can see that the statistics are very skewed. Those that don't have oily fish, those longer chain N3 poofers are going to be very low in their diet. Those particular fats aren't absolutely essential. We can endogenously produce them within our body, but that process is often very restrictive and slow. So we do give dietary recommendations for long chain N3 poofers. So, as I've said, there is evidence that saturated fat as a macronutrient is related to increased risk of cardiovascular disease and also cardiovascular disease events. However, if you look on a food base, we don't eat saturated fats. You can't eat saturated fats. We eat foods, we eat diets. And certain foods contain different quantities of saturated fat. If you look at dairy foods, then if you relate those that have high amounts of dairy food and look at their risk of cardiovascular diseases, you actually find there's either no relationship or there is sometimes a positive relationship. The higher the saturated fats or the lower the risk, negative relationship. So dairy seems to afford some sort of benefit or associated with some sort of benefit against certain conditions, such as cardiovascular disease, or certainly doesn't seem to have a detrimental effect. And actually, if you look at some markers of dairy foods, some saturated fats that are only found in dairy foods, there seems to be a relationship with higher amounts of these markers of dairy foods and significantly lower associated risk from type 2 diabetes. So it's not necessarily the saturated fats that are contained within the dairy foods, but it may be the other components within dairy foods that might reduce the detrimental effect of the saturated fats. So dairy foods, particularly milk, they're complex foods. They contain other components such as peptides that might have bioactivity. They have minerals such as calcium. And so there is a lot of different components within the foods that might have a beneficial effect on our risk factors. And so, for example, we've done some work looking at milk proteins, and we've found that whey protein, which is about 17% of the protein within dairy or within milk, is associated with a reduction in blood pressure and benefits on our vascular health. So it may be that milk consumption may have benefits in relation to the blood pressure, risk of heart disease, and therefore that may help to reduce our risk long term. So there are lots of different components within it that may attenuate this risk. So it's a complex story. I think that the saturated fats within dairy products still would contribute to risk. So my opinion would probably be to, if you don't necessarily restrict dairy, perhaps go for the lower fat varieties. However, the evidence for high fat against low fat dairy is not very strong, and that's probably because studies that directly relate one to the other or compare them haven't been done. In relation to the potential beneficial effect, because butter is just fat, then if the benefits to do with the other components or the matrix of the food, then I would say butter is excluded from that. Other people have done studies, and we've done studies again, perhaps the association studies, where we've looked at those who consume high amounts of butter in their diet associated with outcome measures such as vascular function, the health of your blood vessel, and found that those who had high amounts of butter had worse vascular health than those that had lower amounts. So I would say that butter, the evidence for butter is much weaker in its beneficial effect, and actually there is quite a lot of evidence that actually it may be detrimental. There are some confusing messages. So this issue about butter, I think, has been linked to some relatively recent key publications that have got a lot of press attention. And these publications have looked at the impact of intakes of saturated fats on perhaps cardiovascular risk. And it seems that from these pieces of work, that there doesn't seem to be the strong relationship that we first thought there may be, or we thought there was, in these papers. And then the journalists have obviously reported on these and made the conclusion that, of course, saturated fat-rich foods are okay for us now. However, if you look in a little bit more detail with these papers, and they're usually what we call systematic reviews and meta-analyses, which means it's a collation of all the data, they haven't necessarily looked at the saturated fat in our diet and what replaces it. So if we take something out of our diet, a macronutrient, it's got to be replaced by something. So if you take out saturated fat, you either replace it with protein, carbohydrate, or another type of fat. And when you look at the data, taking into consideration what you might replace saturated fat with, then you actually see a different picture emerging. So if you replace saturated fat for unsaturated fats, then there's a beneficial effect of reducing saturated fats. If you replace saturated fats with carbohydrates, particularly simple sugars, then there is not a benefit to that. So this is one of the reasons why the data has got confused. And I think there isn't a clear message out there. So I think that it is still important to reduce our saturated fat to reduce cardiovascular disease. Butter is a rich source of saturated fat. So limiting butter consumption, in my opinion, would be advice that I would give the general population. But what we have done in the University of Reading is we've used an approach where we've looked at a food chain approach. We've changed the profile of the fat in milk. So we've fed the cows diets that are high in unsaturated fats, oils that are high in unsaturated fats. The milk they produce has the same amount of fat or similar amount of fat as other cows that aren't fed this diet, but the profile of fatty acids is different. So the profile is lower saturated fat and higher monounsaturated fats. So you've got the same amount of fat, but the profile is perhaps more healthy. We've then made in our food processing hall here some butter, UHT milk, and cheese, cheddar cheese. And we have fed this to people for a longer term in a chronic study and shorter term in what's called an acute study to look at the impact of these modified dairy products on risk factors compared with the retail conventional dairy products. We fed it to people at slightly high risk of cardiovascular disease for a 12-week period in a crossover study, which means that it's quite a strong study. Each person has both interventions with washout period. And what we've found is that they do have, if you have a high fat, high dairy diet, it does in fact increase our LDL cholesterol. However, if you have a high fat, high dairy diet with the modified dairy products, it actually attenuates or prevents that increase in LDL cholesterol. And also we've found it's how the modified dairy has some beneficial effects on our vascular health as well. So this is another alternative to this, is to do through a food chain approach, is to change the fatty acid profile of dairy products to a more healthful profile rather than necessarily skimming it out. And so that's another strategy that we could go along to try and increase the perhaps the options for the consumer.